Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defund, the Roy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 206 of the Por Favor, Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Mr. Klinsman, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Mike. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Can't complain too much. You want to know what's funny?
What's that?
I was scrolling through my phone. I got a notification on Twitter saying that we created the at Por Favor podcast Twitter handle 4 years ago today.
Oh, these are like the Facebook things. We care about you, Mr. Klinsman. 1 year ago today, you were mudding.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 years ago, so that must have been episode zero came out, because this was right before
we went
on that fateful trip that turned you and Susie into Floridians, basically.
Yes.
And so in 2 weeks, it'll actually be our four-year anniversary show. 4 years from the official episode one.
4 years.
We might have to, you know what we should probably do?
What's
and
that?
This has nothing to do with being lazy. We should re-upload next week episode 001.
For those who haven't listened to it?
Yeah.
That would be good.
And that poopy show to be G-rated.
That was a good show.
Well, that was when we had that huge delay, too, between us, where we couldn't communicate very well. I remember spending like 4 or 5 hours editing those things.
Did it really? It took you that long?
Well, because the audio was so staggered because of the delay in our Skype connection that we couldn't make it work.
So, like, literally every second you had to move.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Whereas now it's like maybe, like, you know, we'll go 30 seconds before we have to delete some dead space.
Yeah, and it's just dead air because one of us is thinking the other one's not talking. It would be okay if we left it in. It just wouldn't sound as sharp.
Right.
Whereas this would have been unlistenable if I didn't change those. And they were still pretty unlistenable, so that shows.
Yeah, that's the thing with, like, you know, not to be technical, but, you know, like with our new technology, you could leave it alone and it would sound fine. But, like, you and I being the perfectionists we are, we have to get the A++. We don't settle for A's here, Por Favor Industries.
Yes. Yeah, because when I think of us, I think of perfectionists.
Exactly.
The other thing is, though, it'll actually be pretty striking how little we've improved in 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if you want to show that, because it's like walking in as a freshman, walking as a senior.
Yeah.
And you're almost dumber than you were when you were a freshman. That's a good point.
Yeah, so maybe I'll listen to it and see what it sounds like before I upload it.
Okay.
It might be interesting. And then, plus, we'd get a week off if we re-upload it as episode 207, so.
Yeah, but you know what? All of my equipment's being delivered this week.
Oh, so you're itching to get it.
Oh, I just got my my Dell desktop,
mm-hmm.
just a hard drive, so I'm still waiting on the monitor and the wireless keyboard and mouse. And then we ordered a nice desk, Cornish, an L-shaped desk with the matching file cabinets and matching bookcase.
Ooh, very fancy.
And this thing sits just about 3 inches under where my flat screen TV is mounted. So I'll be able to put the little cable box up there on the. It's going to look so good, Billy. Getting those Red Sox and URI pictures up, my Florida Gator stuff. This in a few weeks, we're going to be showing some pictures.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's going to be
That'll
nice.
That'll be good. So to be ready for my visit in June, it'll be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Oh, we'll do recordings in here. We can watch some sports in here.
Yeah, if we didn't have to delay the trip, we'd be there right now, actually.
Oh, and you know what? I was going to ask you if this was going to be the week, because this is...
Yeah.
We're about 10 degrees ahead of...
I looked at it. I saw, like, high of 86.
Did you watch
Orlando
that little nerd?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
That's crazy.
Today was a pool day.
That's high for this time of year, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're about 10 to 12 degrees above norms.
And Por Favor Frank and Sue will be down tomorrow having some beautiful weather.
Yes.
Greeting them. Yeah, we would have been just settling into Cabana Bay right about now if we didn't have to delay the trip. But you know what? It worked out, because now we're staying at Casa de Hurley for a couple nights and then Port Orleans. So it's even things have changed, but it's going to be better. We'll be there in June. Guaranteed good weather.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know this. What's this Port Orleans update? This is brand new. Yeah, what is all this? Oh, what's going on here, Billy?
We decided to stay at Port Orleans Riverside.
Because you extend it, you got the extra free night at my place, and you said, you know what, let's roll that into a Disney moderate. That's how you did it, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically, instead of... So we got two nights at Casa de Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're just doing five nights at Port Orleans. We did a moderate. We're doing one of those princess rooms, the Royal Princess Room.
Yeah,
at Port
we did
Orleans.
That. Yep.
And they're very supposed to be very nice, so the girls will like it. But the beautiful thing is, we can go over on the ferry boat over to Disney Springs,
mm-hmm.
Check out French Quarter, get some beignets. You know, it's like staying at two resorts.
Oh, absolutely! It's fantastic.
Walk over, use the pool at French Quarter, use the pool at Port Orleans Riverside.
And you've never even touched foot on that resort, have you?
No, it's all going to be brand new. I'm very
Christmas.
Excited.
It's going to be Christmas. I'm excited for you.
Check out Yeehaw Bob, maybe.
Yes.
Over at the River Roost. Plenty of good things happening. So that'll be very nice. Excited about that. You know, everything happens for a reason. We'll be down there in June. It'll be good. The girls will enjoy it.
Be nice and warm for you.
A lot of pool time. Yep. Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. It'll be great. So what's new with you, Billy?
Just trying to get settled again. Did some work in the house today. We went over to the pool today.
Yeah, I saw that picture. It looked pretty nice.
They got a hot tub too. And Kristen said, "I feel like I'm on vacation." She set the switch for like 20 minutes and, you know, just went, and it smelled like you were at Disney, just that nice chlorine smell.
Super chlorinated.
Yeah, it's beautiful, nice and warm with the big Florida clouds. It was lovely.
Nice.
And it was so funny because right when I was actually laying out after we got out of the pool, and I got a message from my goofball friend in Florida, or in Minnesota, and
yeah.
He said, it was a picture of him ice fishing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "You could be here." I said, "Or I could be here." And I sent him a picture of the pool. And he said, "It's the wrong season for that." And I'm like, typical freaking Minnesotan. And he's not from Minnesota. He's from Virginia. But he always plays that anti-Florida, like, "Oh, it's so boring. It's warm all the time. And you need winter to appreciate the nice weather." All that nonsense.
I mean, if people legitimately like winter, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But don't say you need to have crappy weather to enjoy nice weather. I don't buy into that.
No.
You know, like if I was a skier or whatever and I was like, "Oh, I look forward to the snow because I love to go skiing and all that," then, you know, that's just my own mental disability. But to say that you need to have bad weather mm-hmm. to enjoy good weather is such a, yeah, you're right, such a rube thing
it
to
is.
Say.
It is.
It's in the playbook.
It's in the playbook.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. You know, I do like some of the different weather. You know, I enjoy the autumn, you don't, so I get that. But yeah, the winter, I hate the winter. I hate it so much.
And you've noticed each year it gets worse?
This year hasn't been too bad.
I don't mean, like, weather-wise it gets worse, but I mean...
Oh, just
it
my
just,
patience
your,
with
Yeah, in your mind yeah. it just gets... Yeah, because it hasn't been a bad winter. You out and get slammed with 113 inches of snow like you did a few years ago.
Not yet. It's still early, though. It's only February 10th, so let's not...
Yeah, that's true, because snow season's usually March when it gets warmer and you get more moisture.
Oh, that's the worst. I hate those March storms. You get a couple, like, 65-degree days, you get the shorts on, and then all of a sudden...
Just get wet.
Nor'easter coming for next Saturday. 12.5 inches of wet, heavy snow. Yeah, not good.
I mean, that's the thing. It was like... It's like anything. When I used to have my NCAA tournament parties in Minnesota... You know, one year could be 65 for the first couple rounds, and then the next year you had like sleet and freezing rain, and you know,
that's right.
It
yeah,
just
that's exactly
each
right.
year it was completely different. You never knew what you were going to get.
Yeah, crapshoot. So what? So I heard a little story. You sent me a message about a little mishap you had with the dinner yesterday. Why don't you go into that a little bit?
I did one of my favorites. I did some nice grilled swordfish, and laid it on a nice bed of. Fresh spinach that I made.
Let me ask you a question before you go too far.
Go ahead.
Is it outdoor grill or one of like the indoor griddle
pans? It's an indoor griddle pan.
Because you have that outside exhaust, so you don't have to worry about the house getting all smelling, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't smell at all. It's so nice.
Get that exhaust going, throw on a Yankee candle, and it's like you never cooked fish.
Exactly. And it's, yeah, like literally minutes after you don't smell it, let alone days. Like, good Lord, my other house, you could smell it for a week, for crying out loud.
Smelled like a fish market in
mm-hmm.
there. Yeah. All right, keep going.
So, I mean, I the way I do it is I butter my pan, put a little bit of olive oil, and I had the nice grill marks, seared it on both sides, and then I just kind of finish it off in the heating part of the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, my spinach was beautiful. And I put, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I put BAM essence, Emeril's essence. So it gives it a little bit of kick.
Something.
Yep, so I plated it, and I even did a nice presentation. I laid it on a bed of spinach, and I went to the bathroom, and I came out, and there was no food on the plate.
Oh, boy.
And I looked over, and he's licking his chops. And I just, I said, no, 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 there's no way. Because he's been jumping on the counter lately, which is really upsetting us.
Yes, that's not good.
It's not good behavior. So, you know, as the optimist, I'm thinking, well, maybe I put it in the microwave. And I'm like, well, why would I put it, something in the microwave that I just cooked? I'm like, well, maybe I'm, and I'm like, no, I said, because you can see the remnants of some spinach on the plate.
Yeah, the plate's empty.
But he didn't pull the plate. Like, I thought maybe he would have pulled it off the counter and you would have heard a crash or something. Right. He just ate the damn thing right off the plate that was on the counter. He
had like himself, less than a minute.
Literally like in 32 seconds. And it was BAM on swordfish and spinach. And, you know, dogs have sensitive stomachs. Like, when we were changing him over from what the breeder was feeding him to what we bought him, you have to do, like, half a cup this and half a cup that for a week just to wean him off. And I said, this is not going to be good. So I took him out, and he didn't have to poop. I said, dude, you're sleeping in it. So I put him in his crate, and I set my alarm a little early because I didn't want to have him. He usually goes 6 hours, so I let him go about 4 hours. And when I went, I didn't know what to expect. And he was fine, and I took him out, and again, he just peed. And then in the morning, I got him some breakfast and took him back out, and he did a solid one. So he's good to go, but I was very concerned. Swordfish and spinach?
Yeah, that's, well, at least it's got some green vegetables, and swordfish has that good, like, fatty acids in it. It's probably good for his coat.
Yeah, that's probably why he's so shiny right now.
Yeah, it's good for his coat. I've heard that. The fish oil. You put a little bit of fish oil in the food for the coat. So he got enough fish oil for a few weeks, I'm imagining.
What a little prick. And I know, like, my old vet used to tell me about Fenway. I said, you know, can we feed him? Because we don't like to feed human food. And she goes, you know what? Anything that's good for you is good for them. So if you want to give them a little vegetables, like some carrots and a little bit of cucumber now and then, or some fruit, that's fine, she said. But, you know, stay away from, like, red meat and, you know, obviously the obvious, but...
Yeah, right. That's funny.
You like
he's still a puppy. He's still a puppy. He'll learn eventually.
He doesn't care. He doesn't get off the counter. And then when Susie's loading and unloading the dishwasher, he likes to go over and start licking the stuff that's in the dishwasher.
Oh, good puppy.
And she does not like that. I mean,
he's just trying to help.
Yeah, I guess.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, it's not funny, but it is funny.
I mean, it is, like, at hindsight, I'm laughing, but I'm like, you know, I didn't know. He could have been sick for a day or two.
Well, that's true, yeah. Now that you know he's okay, especially. It'd be even worse if you had to take him to the vet or something.
Because then
on
I'm
top
like,
of him eating your $9 swordfish, then you have to put up a $250
bring
vet
him to the
bill.
ER, bring him to the ER vet. Because I was Googling it, because there's certain things that are really good for people, and they're terrible for dogs.
Sure.
And I was like, I hope spinach isn't one of them, because there's a few things that dogs cannot eat.
Yeah, like tomatoes, right? That's pretty bad.
I think tomato is. I know chocolate is. Although right. Fen had chocolate once in a while. It's big amounts of chocolate.
Right, yeah, too much.
Yeah.
Of course.
Which a buffoon like him would probably jump onto the counter when Kristen's making cookies and snag a bag of chocolate chips and have to get his damn stomach pumped.
Right, exactly. You know what, though? You gave him a good name because has URI lost since you've had him?
Now, we were watching the game last night, and I'll tell you, Billy... They look damn good.
You know what the thing is? They're going to be a lot of people's picks because they got all seniors and they were in the tournament last year. They're playing hot, you know, playing good ball right now. All seniors, a lot of different guys who can score the basketball. That's what you need in March, some people that can score the basketball, Billy.
I mean, look at EJ Matthews. Look at their two stars. They combined for, I think, 12 points or nothing.
Yeah, and they still won.
And they still ended up winning because other people picked up, but... Mm-hmm. I was just very impressed. You know, and this goes to show how pathetic that program is. I mean, this is the highest ranking in the history of URI basketball.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. When they finish in the Elite Eight, how are they not higher than 18?
They were, because I remember we went to that last show, and Jim Short said, you know, we just got word that you guys finished, I think they were 12, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a team like Kansas, who they still ended up beating, they were number one overall or number one seed, so they probably still finished ahead of URI, but I think they finished like 11 or 12, I want to say. So maybe this is just regular season.
That's true.
And
they're,
still,
they're only going to move up. I don't think they're going to lose.
Well, Lenardi's got them as a six right now, and I see them maybe as high as a four or even a three.
I mean, if they don't lose the rest of the season, they're going to be at least a four, I would think.
Uh-huh.
They have to win the A-10 tournament, but they'll be going into the tournament with, what, 22 wins in a row or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, they've won 15 straight now. They have another four or five regular season and three or four tournament games. So, yeah, I mean, if you win 23, 24 in a row going into the tournament, you're going to be pretty well set up, I think.
And I don't know if you, what do I want to say? I'm not even sure what I want to say at this point.
Okay.
I was going to ask you if you watched the game.
I did not see the one last night.
And then I forgot what I was going to say.
Or that UMass game where they almost lost?
Yeah, that's funny because I did tape that, and I saw that they were up big, so I said, oh, the hell with it, I'm not going to watch. And then when I saw that they only won. But that I fast-forwarded and watched like the last couple of minutes. That was one of those where it still was never in doubt.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, they didn't really have a chance to lose this game.
Yeah, it's very strange because it doesn't seem fluky that they're so good. Like they were picked to be good and they're not like dribbling down their pants like they used to do.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They put on their resume and it was key wins and it was it was Providence, it was
Seton Hall.
I think that he actually had St. Bonaventure down, which I don't understand. But then it said key losses none. I'm like, every year when they're on the bubble, it was always like key losses, and it would be like some scrub Atlantic 10 team or Brown, or they always had like two or three of those awful losses.
That's right. Yeah, they lost to Virginia and Nevada and Alabama. They're all tournament teams.
Yeah, and they were at Nevada and at Alabama. And like they said, Virginia's probably the number one overall team in the country.
And they weren't even ranked when they played, which is crazy to me.
Now, yeah, and I watched it. That Virginia team's for real. I watched them beat at Duke.
Yeah.
And that was a game where Duke ended up taking a 5-point lead, and I think we talked about it on another podcast, but they ended up closing that game down. So Virginia's for real. Let me ask you this. Who do you think is the best coach all time at URI? Is Hurley in the conversation? Is he better than Al? Because I think it's down to the two of them.
He's in the conversation. He's got to do it a few more years to pass Al Skinner.
I don't know how many tournaments Al went to, though. I think he only went to two.
Yeah, because the Elite Eight team was his, but he wasn't coaching.
Yeah, those were all his kids, but that was Herrick's team.
Right.
So, I think they only went to two.
I mean, Penders was probably their best coach, but he didn't stick around that long.
Right.
And, you know, back in the old Keeney, you know, you're talking about modern era.
I don't know much about.
Yeah, I mean, Hurley's up there, definitely. If he makes a run in the tournament this year, he definitely cements it. If they lose first round and get upset, I think he needs to stick around for another year and have another good season. And next year is going to be a rebuilding year, so that'll be really a telling to see how good a recruit he brings in.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it seems like he's bringing in solid classes every year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because you have your eyes and ears up there, so you listen to talk radio and stuff. And what's his deal? Does he like the job? I mean, obviously he says all the right things, but if an ACC or a big time school comes a calling, he's probably going to take the job. So what's the deal with him sticking around this long? Has he just not gotten an opportunity to go somewhere else?
I think he turned down Seton Hall after his second or third year. I think he's loyal, actually, what it is. You know, look at his old man. He coached at the same high school his whole career.
That's true.
You know, he probably had opportunities to move on. He might just be a loyal guy, and he got, you know, his first big opportunity, and he wants to see it through. And, yeah, maybe there's a dream job out there, but I don't know what that is for him. Because if he didn't take Seton Hall, I mean, that's where he went to school, right?
Yeah, he did. He went to Seton Hall.
So if he turned that job down, I don't know.
He's a New Jersey kid, so that's a perfect fit for him.
Right. I don't know. I mean, yeah, if Krzyzewski retires and they come calling after him, is he going to turn down Duke? Probably not.
So that's the thing. You think it's just going to have to be the dream job. He's not going to take a stepping stone job like go to like North Carolina State or Virginia Tech. You think it's going to have to be one of those top 10 programs if they come calling?
You know, you say no, but if a school just decides to open up the checkbook, you know, if Oregon with, you know, that Phil Knight money says, hey, we'll give you $5 million a year, that's hard to turn down.
True.
For anybody, you mean. I don't know. Hopefully he's just a loyal guy and he sticks around for a few more years, but I don't think he's going to be a lifer. I don't think he's Jim Calhoun that's going to turn a program around and just be a lifer. You know, Calhoun was fortunate that they ended up in the Big East and they were in a big conference, but
right.
He took them from nothing. You know, you could make definite comparisons to what Hurley's doing so far with Rhode Island and what Calhoun did with Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were a nothing program when he got there.
Were they like in the New England? They were like with BU, weren't they?
I think it was the Yankee Conference.
Yeah, you're right.
And then the Big East came about in what early '80s or something. UConn got in. I don't know the exact. You could tell we don't have a big topic this week because we're a good 20 minutes in and we're still talking NCAA hoops.
You haven't even gotten into your.
Yeah, my beer. I'm almost done with my beer.
Mike Gorman used to do a commercial. He'd say, "We're more than just men's basketball. We're the Big East Conference." Ah, I used to love that.
Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor
yes,
of the week?
Sir.
This is from the Revival Brewing Company out of, I believe, Providence, Rhode Island, or is it Pawtucket? It's where are we here? Revival is Providence. Sorry about that. This is the White Electric Coffee Stout. 8.5% alcohol by volume. It's got a gorilla drinking a cup of coffee on the label.
Okay.
And it's quite good. I like it a lot. We didn't even talk about the Super Bowl, Billy, but I guess we could skip right over that.
Well, you want to jump into that real quick?
Yeah, what were your thoughts? Did you enjoy the game?
I thought it was garbage. You saw my text, didn't you?
Yes.
When I said that this reminded me of those old 3-on-3 two-hand touch games on Palm Boulevard North.
Yeah, just garbage.
Where I was Dan Marino. I completed like 32 in a row before somebody deflected one of my passes.
Yeah, because you had, you know, some 4'8" kid playing defense on your buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Jason Dennis Morby, my 6'3" wide receiver, and like his little weasel brother was defending him. I just threw it up top all day, just kept moving the chains. And I just look at the guy who was counting, like we used to count like what. Like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, and then he could finally come in and pass for us. So I'd sit back there for 3 seconds and ding, 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 and I'd do the first down right in their faces, and they would get so irritated. I'd even wear one of my New York Jets helmets out there.
Oh, you're a nerd.
Ah, two-hand touch out in the street wearing my New York Jets helmet.
Joe Willie Namath.
But, was I wrong? Am I just a miserable anti-NFL fan or what? That game was horrible, I thought.
I mean, it was not good football, but at least it was entertaining. Like, it wasn't a blowout, at least. And the Patriots lost, which is always good.
Oh, I was swearing. I was calling Brady names. Kristen's like, you got to calm down.
Did you like his outfit that he wore into the stadium?
That was nice, wasn't it? I got to try to find me one. I don't think I have the purse strings to afford something like that.
No, and plus you wouldn't think to look in the women's section of Macy's to find
exactly.
In the first place.
Was that thing nerdy or what?
Oh, it was beautiful. Such a DB. That's all I'll say. Oh,
I can't stand him.
And New England fans, I hate New England. You know, I listen to the sports radio all the time, and they're calling for Belichick's head now. The guy's won him 5 Super Bowls, and he doesn't play Malcolm Butler, and they lose a Super Bowl, and now they're calling for his head. It's hilarious.
Well, that whole deal is really weird. I actually started listening to EEI. That's a weird deal with their offensive coordinator coming back.
Oh, everything's weird about it, but, like, the whole Butler thing, like, that he didn't play him, and now all of a sudden people think he's, like, trying to sabotage the team, how he traded Garoppolo for...
This guy goes from being the best coach in the history, and I told Kristen, she's like, you hate him. I said, he's the best coach in the history. He's better than Vince Lombardi. He wins every freaking year.
You hate him, but you would give up anything for him to come to your team.
Well, the question's always been, are you better with him or with Brady? If you have to lose one, and at this stage, I'd rather take Belichick and Garoppolo.
Yes, I would have also.
And that's what I think deep down is what the choice comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going to happen a week, a month, a year from now, but there's something going on.
I agree with that. Definitely something going on. Well, on that note, maybe we should let that whole thought process simmer with our listeners out here.
Something going on. Doodle-doot-doot-doot. I think there's something going on. All right, let's head to break, Billy.
Hey,
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 206 of the Poor for War podcast. Mr. Klinsman is joining me up in Westerly, Rhode Island, enjoying a nice yuppie beer. Have you finished that yet, or are you still kind of sipping on it?
I got like 3 ounces left out of 12. Yeah.
Do you have a buzz yet?
No, I'm feeling all right.
Okay, good.
I did have a beer with dinner, which I haven't done in a long, long time.
Did you go out or did you eat in the compound?
No, we ate in the compound. I made a little stir fry, some chicken, cut it up small, and made a little glaze for it, hoisin sauce, soy sauce, honey, stir fry vegetables over some noodles. It was very good.
And what made you have a beer tonight?
To be honest, it was because Jorgina was sleeping. She took an early nap and she didn't want to wake up, and then Sarah was with Jorgina Jr., so I actually had, like, 2 hands to do something. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to crack a beer.
Oh, boy. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. I usually have 1 beer a week, and you hear about it on the podcast. So it's a special occasion when I have that second beer of the week. But this week, you came up with the topic, and I was actually, not to be cliche, I was surprised by the topic. So why don't you tell me about what your thought process was there?
Well, we're going to talk about weasels, surprising weasels when you take a trip down to Walt Disney World. And what got it was one of Kristen's high school boyfriends were friends on Facebook, and he did the whole video of surprising the kids.
Yes.
And the daughter read the thing, and it was from like Mickey and his pal saying, we're looking forward to seeing you. And she's like, when are we going? And she's like, Mom's like, right now, you're all packed. We're leaving like in 1 hour. So, and I've heard a lot of people who do that.
Yes.
So I was just curious what people do, how they go about. So we kind of put it out on our social media, which we'll get to in a little bit. But So what's your thoughts about that, Billy? Because you got 2 weasels.
That's true. I think you have to wait till they're a certain age to surprise them.
Like, well, you're not going to surprise your Gina Jr. right now.
No, yeah, you're not going to tell a 1-year-old, you know, pack your bags, we're going in an hour. She's just going to, like, kind of fart and look at you funny. And even your Gina being 3 years old.
She doesn't really have, yeah, why would it be hard to surprise her?
Because she knows we're going to Florida, but she has no concept of time. So, like, I tell her we're going in June, and that could be in an hour, or that could be in 3 years.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
Doesn't mean anything, you know?
Yep.
So I think it comes down to grasping the concept of time, which probably would be once they're in school.
And they see what a full calendar year is. Because yeah, right now, it's the same. She has the same routine.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. The Monday, Tuesday, Saturday is all the same to, you know.
She doesn't know that Friday is going to Nana or Ruta's. She just knows that she's going to Nana or Ruta's today.
She does know. Like, she'll ask what day it is. Mm-hmm. And we'll say Friday. And she says, and then she'll say, oh, Fridays I go to Ra-Ru.
Oh, that's her name.
Yeah, Ra-Ru.
Okay.
And then she knows what day she goes, but she doesn't know what day it is until you tell her.
Gotcha.
So I think surprising her wouldn't have a big reaction. Like, if I went upstairs, or tomorrow morning, if I told her, all right, we're going on a plane right now to go to Disney World, she would probably say, okay. You know, you wouldn't get that, like, really good reaction where they're all excited, like you would expect. So I don't think it would work. Also, personally for me, I don't know if I could keep the secret.
Right.
I'd have to be surprised. Like, Sarah would have to be like, all right, Gary, pack your bags. We're going in 2 hours. And then I'd be like, woo!
Right.
You know, because as soon as I start making reservations, I'm showing Jorgina YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I'm showing her resort YouTube videos. How much of a nerd am I?
Oh, she's a good girl, Billy.
She doesn't really care.
Oh, like, she doesn't
go there. She cares a little because she's like, "When are we going?" I said 4 months, and she's like, "Okay." She walks away. But I'm showing her like the pool at Port Orleans. I was like, "Would you like to go in that pool?" She said, "Tomorrow." I said, "No, not tomorrow." So she kind of gets it, but she doesn't care that much. But we read like the Disney books and we look at different things, and I tell her what we're doing. Like, I want to build it up. I want her to be excited for a long time for it.
Yes.
But then once she knows how fun Disney World is, then you could surprise them with the trip. You know, when they're both in school and all of a sudden it's like a Friday afternoon, you pick them up from school and they're like, oh, where are we going? Oh, we're going right to the airport. Why? We're going to Disney. Then you could have a good, you know, a good surprise on your hands. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, I think it's a fun thing to do for the kids.
Well, I'm asking because I don't have any kids.
Right. But wouldn't you like it? Like, if Susie just came up to you tomorrow, I mean, it's different because you drive there, and she's like, hey, I called your work. I got someone to cover for you. We're going to Le Cellier. I got your bags packed. Let's go. Get in the car.
All right, here's my thing, and I have mixed feelings about it, because what I thought was always special was this was pre-internet. This was pre-everything. So we used to, my parents would say, okay, you know, we're gonna save, and we're going to go to Disney next year. And I'm like, sweet. And then as the months approached, we go to TF Green Airport and stand in line at the Eastern Airline counter and buy airline tickets, because that's how you did it.
Fly on my beautiful balloon. That was their song, right?
No,
for Eastern.
Well, that was a regular song.
I know it was a regular song, but I think Eastern.
I think they did use it. I think you're right.
Up and away in my beautiful balloon.
We played that on our podcast.
Yes, we have. It's a good song. Sorry, keep going. So you wait in line for your tickets.
So we go and we get our tickets, and then we go over to like the travel agent on Jefferson Boulevard or wherever we went, and we sit with them for an hour and a half, and she'd like actually put together an itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go home with all these cool Disney books. Like, it was like all the Burnborn stuff, but just
pamphlets and Burnborn.
Pamphlets and like all these specialty items that they got. And then like we'd go to LL11 for dinner. And I don't know if you know where that is. That's where the old Apex was in Warwick.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And we'd go over there for dinner, and I'd just be like, let me see that app. Let me see that book. Let me see that book. And I was that's what really got me into it. And just like the months of leading on, like talking to my mom and how passionate she was about Disney. And, well, we're going to try to eat here, and we're going to try to eat here. And it was just, so for me, that was what I loved about our trips.
But how old were you at that time?
I was a little older. I was probably like
10, 12
maybe. Yeah, 10, 12. I want to say 13. I'm trying to think of all the trips that I've been on. But yeah, I want to say right around that age, yeah.
So if you were 6 or 7, you probably wouldn't have been digging into the books like that as much.
You're probably right. But you don't know that. You and I are big nerds.
That's true.
Don't underestimate our nerdiness.
But I think a surprise trip would have really, you know, you would have been pumped for a surprise trip when you were 6 or 7.
Perhaps.
I mean, you would have been pumped as 10 or 12, but you liked the planning aspect.
Yes,
as you
do too.
That's my favorite part of going. Is the planning.
Mm-hmm.
I always like having something on the horizon to look forward to and to think about and to, you know, decide what we want to do and change plans 100 times. So you're right about that. A surprise trip, like if you tried to surprise me with a trip, I would be pumped about it, but I'd almost be like, oh, I didn't get to think about it for a year.
Right.
And come up with what I want to do. So I see your point, and that's kind of how you were even as a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like with our wives, they know us so well, so Sarah, I'm sure, could put together a really nice itinerary where you'd be stoked. It's not like some type of rookie who's like, oh, we're going to stay here and we're going to eat dinner here. And you're like, oh, that place is terrible. Oh, that's awful.
Right. And also, but she also knows me well enough to know that the planning is my favorite part.
It's your favorite part, correct.
I don't think she would take that away from me either. And same with you. I don't think Susie would. Like, she would. Now she could. She could surprise you, like make a reservation.
Right.
And hope you don't check my Disney experience for a day. And like be like, hey, I got your reservation tomorrow at Yachtsman for your birthday. And then you'd be like, you'd be pretty pumped about that because you don't need to plan ahead for something like that.
Speaking of, I do that all the time when your parents come down. And I just look at their fat. I got to see what they're eating. I'm like, they're eating air that night. Oh,
they have some good ones coming up.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Grand Floridian Cafe for lunch. They're going to Kona for breakfast. I turned them on to Kona for breakfast. Because we went in November, mm-hmm. and they both loved it. So now that's like going to be another staple of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just expanding horizons of Frank. Because if it's him and Sue, like he'll go along with what my mom says. But my mom knows like what he likes. And she's just going to kind of go along to get along because she's not picky.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's 2 versus 1, like if it's me and Sue and Frank, and we both want to try Kona, and he's like, all right, I'll find something I like.
Right.
And then he goes, and he loves it. Now, next time, he's like, we should do Kona again.
Right.
You know? And say, that's how, I mean, Grand Floridian Cafe, that's exactly how that happened.
Yeah, because he thought it was going to be, like, fancy and stuff, and it ends up being a hamburger joint.
And he loves it. It's mm-hmm. his favorite joint on property right now, I think. But they got some good ones. I think they have Whispering Canyon.
Yeah, I saw Whispering Canyon.
And, you know, some of their staples that they go to, Liberty Tree, things like that, but... Yeah, they got. I mean, they They go for the food. That's their biggest thing. You know, they do all the nerdy park stuff, but they love the food.
Yeah, see, that's beautiful.
They don't love the same stuff we do. They like it. They like different places. But
that's why they have different. That's why they have signatures and one credit and quick service.
Right. No, I mean, they have something for everyone. That we've always said that. That's why the electric umbrella and you know, cosmic rays is always packed. Because there's people that only want to eat chicken fingers and hamburgers and lousy pizza. But then there's stuff for everybody. You know, you could get whatever you want. Even quick serve wise, you can get a lot of variety.
Yep.
So it's a beautiful thing. Anything else you have to add about the surprise element? Because I know we do have some.
No, that's about all I have. I just
social media.
I would be a little. I'd be a little anti because I'm kind of like if I had a little rugrat running around, I would want to plan with my friend.
Yeah, I do. I will look forward to that definitely. I don't think we'll do a surprise for them, and I don't think I could keep it a surprise.
Correct.
You know, it would be too hard for me to do. So that's definitely tough. So you want me to read some of our Twitter responses here?
Yeah, can you read, and maybe Facebook too, because I'm still sitting on the floor, so it's hard for me to.
Sure, I could pull this stuff up.
Where do you where do you want to start? You want to do Twitter first?
Yeah, I'll start at Twitter. Let's see. So Epcot Vic replied and said they've surprised their kids twice. Once they woke them up at 4 in the morning and told them to get dressed, we were going. So that's like bucket of water in the face, like, come on, we're going, it's 4 in the morning, wake up, get on a plane. And then it says, this past June for my birthday, they were watching me unwrap my gift, which was Magic Bands, and as he opened it, they asked me what I wanted to do for my birthday, and I said, go to Disney. So I unwrapped the bands and told them they had 45 minutes to pack a bag. They were shocked.
That's cool.
That is kind of cool, especially cool. Like if they're older and the old man's opening the gift and they're all excited about it. And then our buddy Matt Holly, he responded, he said, we surprised them at Christmas a few years back. They kept opening Disney gift cards, and once they were done, we told them we were going to Disney. This past November, we wrapped the Magic Bands and some stuff to entertain them on the plane. They found out an hour before flying down. But his kids are younger, though, too, so that's probably more as, like, you're not going to include them in the plan process anyway, so you might as well surprise them. Mm-hmm. And then Connecticut Mickey Man, Dean, said, they put a suitcase outside the door with an iPod in it and had it play the opening show to the Magic Kingdom on repeat. And we had our son answer the doorbell. And after he answered it, we hopped in the already packed car and drove to the airport. That's a pretty elaborate planning.
That's way, way, way more than I'm willing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a lot right there.
That was a lot of planning. You would definitely not go into that much.
That's like planning. The dude that you see like almost falling off his roof just to put a couple of lights on his, you know, for Christmas. And you're like, really? Why do you go through that? You're just taking him down in 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of those deals. But good for him. It's just, you know, you're not going to see lights on my garage. It's just one of those deals.
All right. And then on Facebook, we had a few answers here. Por favor, Joe Regano.
Oh, Joey Regano.
He said, we got up Christmas morning, opened gifts, and said, surprise, walked out with suitcases, and proceeded to head to Disney for a great 5-night stay at Beach Club. His favorite part was going to Magic Kingdom and seeing the 0 days to Christmas sign, and the next day going again and seeing the same sign saying 365 days till Christmas.
Hmm.
And then Ashley Dubois said that she told the kids they were getting out of school early for an appointment. On the way to the airport, told them she didn't have an appointment and gave them clue number one, a picture of an airplane. Then they were told they couldn't ask any questions and had to wait for the next clue. Clue two was given while in the air on the way to Orlando, a picture of her dad and sister, who were meeting them at the airport. And clue number three was given to them by her sister at the airport, a picture of Walt Disney World. They were speechless and couldn't believe that she pulled them out of school for a trip to Disney. So these people go through a lot of planning for this surprise. Sue Willing said they tried to do a surprise for Marshall, but it's not a novelty for him because they go so much. He views it as a necessity. They've always wanted to do a surprise scavenger hunt, so that would be fun. Your buddy Marshall, he's a veteran.
He is a veteran, and he's just a young man.
Yes.
Yep, a seasoned veteran.
He knows where the best mud rooms are and everything.
He knows a lot. Yeah, he knows food. He's a good man. He had a steak the day that we went, when we had lunch at Rosen Crown. He's a good guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he had a steak. He's not messing around.
And then Allison Carmichael, she said they got annual passes and went for Christmas. And she said they always go to their in-laws in South Georgia right after school is out. The first morning at their house, we got up super early and had special holiday Disney shirts for all of them. We have now gone 3 Christmas seasons and plan on going again this year. So the first time they decided to go on Christmas was a surprise. So that's pretty cool. See, I like that. I like the, like, all right, get up, we're going right now.
Yeah.
Kind of surprise for the kid. That's kind of cool. Any comments there besides what you already said?
That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work to do the surprise. I wouldn't go that elaborate. I'd have, like, my cell phone recording and be like, all right, we're going to Disney right now.
Yep.
Get in the car. And that's about as far as I'd go. Wouldn't have iPods playing and clues and pictures hanging off the wing of the airplane and stuff. That seems a little much.
You know what I think would be cool is, like, if you could actually get on a plane, land, and almost get on the Magical Express without them knowing what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
which you could probably do with a younger kid, obviously, who couldn't read the screen that says, you know, flight 1533 Orlando.
Yeah, but even Orlando, like, a lot of kids up to a certain age wouldn't associate Orlando with Disney either.
That's true.
Because at what age? Maybe 8 or 10 in that range? Like, I don't think a 6 or 7 year old knows that you have to fly to Orlando to get to Disney World.
Okay.
They just know you go to Disney World. They might know it's in Florida.
I think that would be a fun one. I think before we go to break, I think that's the one that I would do. Is that
just
I would
get on a plane.
Get on a plane, land. Maybe if Magical Express was going to throw it off, just rent a car.
Yeah,
for that, for that first leg. And then see the reaction as you're pulling into property. Because, again, they might not even know, because they don't know the resorts. Like, well, they'd see, you know, welcome to, you know, Walt Disney.
But that would be a good time to lay the surprise on it.
Yes,
though.
As you're pulling into the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, that'd be a good surprise. Here's where we're not staying. We're staying at the Ramada Inn on Kissimmee on International Drive. Yeah.
So that's how I would do it, Klinsman. How would you do it?
Like I said, it depends on the age of the girls, but I think I would just do the...
You're just going budget right now, Billy. You're seeing all your friends buying their wives big 12-carat diamond rings, and you're going, you're going ghetto right now.
No, I would do, like, the shirts or something, like, for Christmas. It's, like, your Gina's birthday's on Christmas. If we were going to do, like, a surprise trip, like, have her open up and have, like, a Disney shirt, and then the next present is, like, Mickey ears, and then the last present is, like, the Magic Band and tell her we're going tomorrow or something like that.
Okay.
You know, that would be a good way to do it, a couple different presents and saying, hey, we're going now or we're going tomorrow. I think that's how I would do it. But I don't think we'd ever go that close to Christmas, so that probably wouldn't work out. I don't know. I have to think about it. Maybe sometime. We'll do a surprise trip at some point, maybe.
That would be cool.
I don't know if I could keep my mouth shut, though.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
6-7 months planning without spilling the beans.
I mean, what you could do is still plan and just not
tell
her.
Yeah, but like you said, I want to get them involved in it.
Yeah, you couldn't say, hey, do you think this looks like a cool resort?
I mean, I could. I do that now. I show her YouTubes of Animal Kingdom Lodge. I'm like, that looks like fun, doesn't it? She's like, yeah, can we go there? No, we're not going there.
you still YouTube the resorts, huh?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
YouTube's fabulous, isn't it?
I love the resort walkthroughs.
They're awesome.
They are. They're great.
Because it's just like you and I just going for a stroll. I love them.
And I can watch the same ones over and over again, too.
Yeah, Kristen will be like, haven't you seen this before? I'm like, yeah, I watched it like a week ago. What's your point?
Yeah. Either sit down and watch it with me or go watch the other TV.
And yeah, I think for me, I like the ones that I've either stayed at or been to because I appreciate it more. Like, I do a pop walkthrough because I've been there.
Yeah, like, you see it before and you're not sure and then you stay there and then you watch it again after. And it's
right.
Like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that. I remember seeing that.
Right.
Yeah, like, if you did a walkthrough of All-Star Music now that you hung out there for a night.
Then it makes a little more sense to me, correct?
Yeah, you get more lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know. Like, you do the walkthroughs, and it doesn't help you orient yourself when you're there.
Like, even Port Orleans. Like, I've been there two, three times now, and you've been there. So now it makes sense. But when you're first doing your video, it's like, oh, okay, that looks nice. But it could be some place in France, for all you know.
That's exactly right. Because, like, Caribbean Beach, for instance, when we stayed there a couple years ago, we were looking at a lot of the videos. And, yeah, they look great. But you don't realize that where you check in at Caribbean Beach is, like, totally out of the way from everything else. It's just its own separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you don't get a get a sense for how big the resort is.
Right.
Until you're there walking around. And then, after you see it, and you've been there and you watch it, then you can kind of appreciate what they're doing and what they're showing you on the videos. So I definitely understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, anything else you want to add here?
No, but I do have some good bumper music. I got a text from Mr. DeVorney today.
Oh, a request.
A request? He actually did. He said, sounds like the Hurricanes, the Carolina Hurricanes, are wearing the Whalers jerseys on certain nights. You need to find the Whalers.
Brass Bonanza?
Brass Bonanza. You need to find a Whalers theme song and play it on the podcast. How do you know Brass Bonanza?
I went to UConn.
Yeah?
That was like a drinking song at UConn, Brass Bonanza.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, people love the Hartford
Whalers.
Oh, that
song used to just air. I'd watch them play the Bruins and Ron Francis. I scored. You know those hockey games too, like when you're down 4-0 and they just don't care and they let three more in. It was like as soon as like the, you know, they're not even done with the Hartford goal scored by number 37 Ron Francis, his 15th of the year, assist by number, and all of a sudden just scored. And before like the public address announcer could even finish the.
They're already firing up the organ again for the next. That's a great song.
It's,
by the way.
It, hey, you gotta admit, I mean, I love hockey jerseys. And I That's think a, and I think the Hartford Whalers is one of the coolest logo.
Oh yeah.
Ever. Don't you love their logo?
It's very, it's like subtle, but then when you really look at it, it has the H and the W and yes. the tail coming out and everything. The colors are nerdy.
Oh, it's a beautiful. And back when I was a kid, they used to wear the pants, just like the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, right.
Oh, because I think Gordie Howe, Mark Howe played for that team, and they and once in a while they wore the pants. Oh, the pants were so beautiful.
That's funny.
The Hartford Whalers. I tried. Right before they moved, me and my buddies drove down. We're going to go see the Bruins. And you couldn't get tickets because the Bruins would sell it out.
Right.
And there was this guy. He had a stack. I'm not kidding you. He had about 75 tickets. I'm like, what do you want? It was like double face. I'm like, uh-uh, ain't happening. So we saw the guy. I said, let's just wait until right before they dropped the puck. Still got the tickets. I'm like, what do you want? He told me. I said, nope. Game starts. We're about 5 minutes into the game. He still had the tickets. I said, yeah. I said, I'll give you face. I said, I want four at face. He's like, nope. I'm like, so we ended up having to get back in my car and leaving.
Just out of principle.
And this,
at that
and this guy had 75 tickets. I'm like, I'll give you face. Face for four. Just give me. So then we saw him a couple weeks later at the NCAA tournament when they had it in Hartford.
Okay.
And he was struggling again selling tickets. And I kind of like made like a little remark to him. This guy was just a jerk. Cut your losses, man.
Yeah, right.
What are you going to do with them? You can't do anything with them.
Yeah, once that game starts, they start losing value.
Yeah, yeah. Of course you get to game, man. You're losing your leverage. Now they drop the puck. You still got $75. Hey, bro, I'll give you a face. Let's go.
I remember people used to try to scalp tickets down at like Keeney when it wasn't even selling out.
Yeah.
I was like, I got two. I was like, yeah, I can go up to the box office and get six. So what's your
and,
point?
And move down.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't even check. Yeah, I'm going to sit in the second row anyway. So exactly. What's your goal here, buddy?
That's when, what's his name? Remember the guy who took over after Barron? What was his name? Was coaching.
After Jim.
Lamar Odom's buddy. Di Gregorio.
Jim Barron. You're talking.
Not Barron. No, after Herrick.
Oh, anyway. Jim Herrick. Yeah, Ernie D. Or Jerry D. Gregorio.
Yeah, he's coaching. They're going like 6-23, and there's people trying to scalp tickets when they were still playing at the Providence Civic Center.
Tavoris Bell.
Yeah.
Zach Marbury.
They had Big Ed Brown.
I don't remember Ed Brown.
You don't remember Big Fat Ed Brown? He was like 350.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The offensive lineman.
Yes, yes, yes. I do remember him. He had no skills. He could dunk
none,
it.
None.
Oh, yeah, he could. I don't even know if he could dunk. He was like 6'9".
No,
oh, he could dunk.
Yeah, he almost took the rim down every time because he was so big.
Because he was one of those guys that had the vertical leap of like 2.3 inches, right?
Yeah, you could like slip a credit card under his foot.
That's a good one, Jürgen.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
We should probably take a break. We've talked like 16 minutes of URI this week. We're really pinpointing our audience.
All right. because you could slip a credit card. Where did you hear that? Was that like in broadcast in 201? Like your junior year has had to have been. Did they teach you some of that nonsense when you were taking classes?
No.
You had to come up with them yourself.
Yeah. I was a good broadcaster. You heard me.
Oh, I told you. The Rudy Gay was my favorite call. That's a Dickie V right there.
You couldn't get away with that.
Oh, no. You would have been. You'd be canned. Not even would you be canned.
I'd be like kicked off
campus. They'd be protesting you.
Yeah, that wouldn't have gone well.
Oh, they'd be protesting you. That was a great call. I used to listen to your games.
Yeah, it was good. WHUS 91.7. Stores.
Now, who was your color guy?
Oh, we switched it up. So sometimes I was color. I worked with the... my buddy Zach Singer.
Do you keep in touch with him?
No, I'm Facebook friends with him, but we don't really talk. Christian, there's a kid, Christian Singer, or Sanger. I don't know, that's weird that they had like similar last names, but they weren't related. Who else? Dan Katz.
Oh, that was his real name? Was it his radio name?
No, that was his real name.
God, that's a good one.
Josh Morgan. We had a good crew.
Do you have any radio names?
No, I never came up with one. I was close. I almost went by Gary Waters for no reason.
Gary Waters?
That's a good name, right?
I like it.
Rolls off the tongue a little better than Aruda.
It was like when I was a kid, they said like your porn name was your first name and your last name was your street, the first part of your street. So mine was Patrick Palm. That's that's pretty good, isn't it?
That's not a bad one.
Yours would be Gary Cotton. Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No, Frank Cottonwood.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mine
name.
Was Patrick Palm. But anyways, you want it. How did you come into a game? Let's hear like how you would start.
Well, see, did I they used play to
like,
write it
did,
up.
Did they play like a little song like UConn no, basketball? No, we had was a brought to you by.
Well, we didn't have sponsors because it was a school station, but we did. We had a studio person that would do like the pregame and the halftime show.
Ah, so they'd say like let's send it out to us.
Yeah, we're sending it out to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York, with Gary Aruda and Josh Morgan. And I'd say, and I'd be you could hear him play it in the headphone seats. Say thanks a lot here at the Carrier Dome, sold out crowd of 26,000 people strong for the Syracuse Orange versus the visiting UConn Huskies, number 21 ranked UConn, you know, things like that. So you just go along, whatever, you write it up, you know. Second meeting of the year, UConn came away at Gamble Pavilion with an 81-79 win on a last second Emeka Okafor dunk.
Wow.
So you have the whole script for the beginning, and then you just go. Then you just go with the flow in the game. The game's the easiest part.
Is
especially
it?
Especially basketball. Basketball's so easy because it's nonstop. There's movement, there's
passing.
Yeah,
but how do you remember all the guys by their numbers?
Oh, basketball, there's only 10 guys on the court.
Yeah, but how do you remember? Like, if you're doing, like, a URI Duquesne game, how do you prepare yourself for all the Duquesne players?
It doesn't take that long. You only got to remember 7 guys. I mean, how many guys score for a team?
That's
you have
true.
It all written down. You just put the number and you write their last name phonetically spelled out big on a piece of paper. So you just kind of glance down real quick.
Wow. And you guys traveled? You guys would go to the Carrier Dome?
Yeah, we did a lot of away games. Basically, anyone you could drive to, we would do. So the Carrier Dome was basically the furthest we would go.
And you did you do a game there?
I did a couple there. I did a football and a basketball.
How was that? I didn't know that you did games there.
It was terrible for basketball. It was a cool environment being down courtside at the Carrier Dome, but like half the place is closed off.
Courtside at the Carrier Dome.
I was.
Gary Reuter and right Steve there. Waters.
I was like 2 feet down from like Jay Billis and those guys.
Now, did you have passes and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We were in the press room. Get the, you know, I used to, we would talk to those guys.
You muckety-mucked like with Derek Coleman and stuff?
They would come, well, not like the, oh, we could go to the press conference after the game. Yeah, you could do all that stuff, but we didn't need to because we didn't need sound or anything like that.
So how about like before the game during shoot around, would you go over like, you know, like how the coaches talk? Would you go talk to Dickie V and Jay Billis, or would they not give you the time of day?
I interviewed Dick Vitale on the air at one point. I forget what game it was, but it was
beautiful.
At Gamble Pavilion. Yeah, I interviewed Dick Vitale, and those guys would talk to you a little bit like before the game if you saw them when you were getting a bite to eat or whatever.
Oh, you didn't get wait a second. This is going into overtime. A bite to eat. You didn't get like the spread, did you?
Oh yeah. We're full members of the press.
Oh wait a second. So you were carrying in a bag of like chicken McNuggets from McDonald's?
No,
you
whatever
got the
they
pregame spread?
Oh yeah. It was beautiful, Billy.
Oh, I didn't know any of this stuff.
I went in one time. We were doing a UConn football game at Rentschler Field, and I'm going in before the game, and I have to go relieve myself. I have to go a little urination. Mm-hmm. And I go in there, and Sean McDonough's in the stall next to me.
So what do? Do you the put the head down, or do you, hey, Sean, how's it going?
No,
is that awkward or what?
I didn't say anything, and I think Kirk Herbstreit was doing the game with them. It was like a Thursday night game, and they're doing the game together, and they're like two stalls apart. They're both going to the bathroom, and I go like in between them, and they're talking to each other, and Sean McDonough goes, hey, Kirk, this water's cold.
He threw that cheesy line at him.
Yeah, and then Kirk goes, yeah, and it's deep.
Oh, my God.
Like, they see me walking up a mile away. It's like, let's give this kid something to talk about. All those guys are pretty cool. Like, I never had any problems with, like, the national guys. They were always nice. They'd say hi to you and everything.
Who were the jerks? The other local kids?
No, I never had any problem with anybody.
Do you still have your credentials?
No, I don't have those anymore.
Oh, that's the coolest thing. Where did you eat? Well, I mean, were you eating, like, next to Dick or...
No, we'd usually just kind of... You usually bring it into, like, the press box, like, wherever you're sitting, depending on the game.
You had a spread.
Oh, yeah. The best spread they had was I did the NCAA tournament up in Worcester. So UConn played... They were a two seed. They played UCF, 215, and then they ended up losing to NC State in the second round. They had Julius Hodge. Remember him for NC State?
No, I don't.
He was their star player. Anyway, that's when UConn was like, they were really good. They had like Charlie Villanueva, all those guys, but they flamed out. The spread at the NCAA tournament, they had like steak and cheese sandwiches, lobster rolls, all beautiful stuff.
Oh, Bill.
They like spread out the good stuff for the NCAA tournament. Like the UConn home games, they had terrible stuff. They had like warmed over baked ziti and like lousy meatballs. That was all they ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once in a while they'd have like pulled pork or something, but it wasn't the best. But it was free. I didn't miss any of those meals, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, the credit card under the feet, you didn't miss any of the meals. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what we talked about for our podcast.
No, don't worry about it. Let's just wrap it up. Let's bring it home.
All right, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Pour Favor Podcast. You can find me personally on Twitter at Pour Favor Mike. You can email the show info@PourFavorPodcast. You can email me, Mike@PourFavorPodcast. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Mr. Klinsman.
You can email me, Gary@PourFavorPodcast.com, and go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/PourFavorPodcast.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 206 of the Pour Favor Montengase Alejandro de las Podcast from Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. I am Dr. Hurley down in sunny Southwest Florida, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.